Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My mom is up in Williamsburg, Virginia this weekend doing a wedding, and she sent me a picture of herself this morning with some wind-blown hair on the beach. She said that before she drove back home, she decided she wanted to see the ocean. So she drove over to Yorktown and was looking out at the Atlantic. But here's the best part. Then she said, "You were in my head. I dipped my hand in the water and remembered my baptism." We know each other so well that there are times when we know what the other will say even before the other says it, or even if the other isn't there. And when we tell each other about it, we say, "You were in my head." Sometimes we do know someone so well, or we've heard them say something so many times, that it becomes a part of our thinking or our speech. This is one of the reasons why at funerals or memorial services, I say three sentences every time, hoping that those words will become part of your head and part of your thinking and maybe even part of your speech, even if I'm not around. These three sentences are, and by the way, I wanted to quiz you and see if you all remembered them, but I thought no. Even with the extra hour and the time change today, our brains aren't quite awake enough for that, right? So those sentences are, "We have come to this place at this time to remember that through his resurrection, Jesus defeated death forever." Second one, "You are not alone in your grief or sadness. God is with you, holding you in the same arms and in the same love that now hold your loved one in eternity." And three, "We have come to this place to celebrate that death does not have the last word over your loved one's life." Do these sound familiar? They sound familiar? Did you know that I was repeating them on purpose? Or you just kind of thought I needed to find some fresh material? Not sure. Well, the gospel lesson for this morning is a literal example of Jesus getting the last word over death. When he says, "Lazarus, come out, unbind him and let him go," death does not get that last word. Jesus does. I love it. And sometimes I wonder if at the end of time, when Jesus comes again, if that's how the resurrection of the body will take place. Jesus will say to us and to our graves, "Come out! Unbind them and let them go." What a glorious day that will be. Isaiah describes it beautifully in our Old Testament lesson this morning, that God will gather all people to a feast, celebrating that God has swallowed up death forever. Death and disease will be no more. Violence and abuse will be no more. Pain and sorrow will be no more. And God will wipe away every tear. This is our great hope. But this hope isn't realized quite yet. Death is still very much a reality. Death hasn't quite lost its sting. And we all know, all too well, the grief and the pain that Mary and Martha are experiencing in this passage at the death of their brother. Today, on All Saints Sunday, I think we're all aware more than usual that we hold that tension between resurrection hope and sorrow and grief. In this gospel story, we see Jesus living in that tension himself. Knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead in just a few minutes, Jesus still wept. Jesus wept with the pain of his dear friend dying. And I think Jesus also wept with empathy at the sight of his dear friends in pain, grieving. Jesus didn't skip over the grief. He didn't ignore or repress the pain. He didn't detach from the sorrow. And he didn't rush to the resurrection part. First, Jesus experienced the pain and the suffering that death causes. The Greek word for wept in the sentence that says Jesus wept only occurs one time in the New Testament. And you're thinking, wait, I know there's more weeping and crying in the New Testament. There is, but that's a different word. The word that the author of John uses for Jesus weeping emphasizes so strongly the visible tears on Jesus' face. The other Greek word for crying that's used elsewhere is more about the sound of crying, the wailing. But the author of John wanted the hearers of this gospel to know that Jesus wept with visible tears on his face. Visible tears running down his cheeks. This is really profound and significant for me. And one of my favorite authors, Cole Arthur Riley, writes this. She says, "You can't tell me that it doesn't change everything, that the one who created all things and holds all things together cried." When Christ wept over Lazarus, he must have done so not out of an absence of hope or faith, but out of love. And I think she's right. Jesus wept out of love, and it changes everything. The one who created all things and holds all things together comes to us in our pain and stays with us in our sorrow. Yes, Jesus will have the last word over death. Yes, someday Jesus will return and God will swallow up death forever. And yes, God will wipe away every tear from every eye. That is our hope, and we do look forward to that day. But until then, before Jesus calls us or our loved ones out from the tomb, Jesus sees us in our pain and grief, and he cries with us. The one who became human, who himself was placed in a tomb and then broke forth from that tomb, is with us in our grief, in our sorrow. Jesus is with us at the tomb, and he cries with us, and he too prays for us. And I don't know about you, but I think that is some pretty darn good news. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.